Alrighty, well hey, good morning everybody. John here with Crypto Top 10, coming at you with some of the trending articles in the crypto news space for November the 17th. We got an interesting one today. We'll launch through what the normal stuff is, but at the end, we gotta have a little talk about Bitcoin and what in the world just happened. But, as always, thank you to everyone who has subscribed wherever you're finding this content. Do appreciate it immensely. And there's a link down in the description or links down in the descriptions that you can check out. So that way you can do your own research and figure things out for yourself. On top of all that, I got a baby monitor with me, so I do apologize. I will try to edit out the beeps, boops, and his grunts. It seems he likes to do that when he sleeps. But yeah, this is a amateur podcast that is being done on the seat of my pants, so I can't pay for a babysitter. So let's start things off talking about VeChain. They had a pretty nice little week. So on November 11th, China, yeah, the country of China, hosted the country's largest technology fair in Shenzhen, which is the China International High Tech Achievements Fair. Now look, China loves their control and a lot of their own government ministries, commerce, science, technology, industry, IT, development, reform, agriculture, rural affairs, and the whole nine yards. They had a lot of people there. It seems they actively do these things to help bring attention to the projects they're using. Hint, hint, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. As well as honor those who've been doing good things for the country. VeChain was invited to discuss a lot of different things, mostly the possibilities and strategies of using blockchain technology in the green economy and building green digital infrastructures. China creates a lot of pollution, and they use a lot of fossil fuels. They do, however, have a lot of dams, and they're trying, it seems to be, to convert more and more to green energy. Whether or not you believe in climate change, I like green hills, clean air, and clean water. So anything that is being done to get more of that, I am all down for, as well as pushing technology and innovation forward. At the conference, the VeChain developed blockchain platform, VeChain Toolchain, trademark, won the 2020 China Green Technology Innovation Award. So hats off to VeChain. Nice little golf clap for them. Good, good, good. The environmentally friendly and sustainable digital solutions, which can be implemented using the VeChain toolchain. So yeah, they are really happy with it. So the VeChain Thor blockchain can guarantee the transparency and consistency of upstream and downstream data in the supply chain. Brand owners and retailers can rely on this data to ensure compliance with product, raw materials, and environmentally friendly production processes, and to provide customers and consumers with transparent and credible green documents that enhance confidence in the brand image. So not only can you say it's green, they can slap a little QR code on there that you can scan and it'll take you to a website so you can actually track everything that was in the product you just bought all the way back to its source, and you can actually see all the ways that the green technology has been implemented to help save the environment and all that fun stuff. It's a really cool thing. They're doing it for a lot of different projects. You can look at some of my other videos. I've been talking about VeChain a lot. They are in the top 30 by market cap, and they have quite what I would consider to be a cult following. They're not talked about a lot in the mainstream crypto stuff that I see often, but they have been doing some really, really great things. VeChain is developing a public health platform based on the VeChain Thor blockchain together with the provincial government of Hubei in China as well. So they seem to be sidling up to China. China is doing amazing things with blockchain tech, all things aside about the other stuff that they're doing. They are positioning themselves to be an emerging leader in the technology end of the spectrum. So other countries like the United States should probably be keeping an eye on that. But still, good for VeChain, getting that award. We'll see what that does to the price. In a fun little bit, let's hop on over and talk about Uniswap. As we talked about earlier in the week, a lot of their mining pools were ending. And it's caused exactly what a lot of people thought it was going to cause. So the total value of assets, or TVL, in the leading decentralized exchange Uniswap has plummeted by about 38% in only 24 hours amid the conclusion of the Uni Liquidity Rewards Program today. Yeah, it's pretty much a straight line down. Meanwhile, quote-unquote vampire clone SushiSwap has doubled its total value locked and is aggressively pursuing additional liquidity. So they're kicking them while they're down, basically. As of this writing, Uniswap's TVL is down a total of 43% since posting an all-time high of $3.07 billion 3 days ago. It now sits at $1.75 billion and is still dropping like a rock. Following the sharp decline in Uniswap's liquidity, token holders have embarked on the process of voting for a new governance proposal that seeks to reinstate rewards in the form of UNI tokens for liquidity providers. The new proposal, which was put forward by Cooper Turley of crypto-powered music streaming platform Audius, yeah. God, I love DeFi and I love crypto. That's insane. So this dude who owns a streaming service put forth a proposal. It'll cut the amount of UNI rewards in half compared to the former program that it was, but it would still see about 1.25 million UNI designated to each of the pools that were affected monthly for 2 months, so about 10 million tokens in total, or 4.6% of UNI's circulating supply. Now, the community will first vote on a snapshot poll, which needs about 25,000 votes in favor within 3 days to proceed to a secondary consensus check poll, which would need 50,000 yes votes. Then Audius's proposition will become a fully fledged governance proposal that needs 40 million affirmative votes in order to be approved for implementation. Whew, dear Lord. The proposal was published on the same day that rival DEX SushiSwap unveiled new incentives for providing liquidity to the four pairings Uniswap has stopped providing incentives for. So basically they went, oh, you're not doing this anymore? Well, now we're going to do it and see what we got. In doing so, they've seen their TVL double, going from $260 million to about $500 million. SushiSwap has been bleeding as of late, their token, so this will probably pump things up. And I fully expect that we might see Uniswap start their own bleed as a result of all this. Hopefully they can figure things out. The path from proposal to affirmative vote is a bit of a long one, so we might be talking about this into next week and possibly the week after that. All the best for them. If you love Uniswap, well, now's the time to pick these tokens up, probably on a pretty steep discount. Just my thoughts. Anyways, let's hop on over. Gotta talk about Polkadot and, by extension, Ethereum. So this is a twofer we're gonna work our way through. So yeah, Ethereum is up 266% this year. It's actually up twice as much as Bitcoin, but Bitcoin's still doing pretty well. We'll get to that, don't worry. A lot of savvy digital asset investors are hedging their bets and buying tokens with an upstart or many upstart blockchains that could possibly grab market share from the Ethereum network, often referred to as a world computer due to its versatility in programming. Yeah, this is DOT. They're shilling some Polkadot right here. One such token is DOT, whose co-founder Gavin Wood was also a co-founder of Ethereum. He wrote the original project white paper for Polkadot in 2016, which was just a year after the Ethereum network launched. However, it didn't go live until about mid-August on exchanges. They performed a 100-to-1 split. The DOT token is up about 44%. It's doing pretty well. It's in the top 10. There's nothing wrong with it. But the heart of Polkadot is the concept of parachains, or parallel blockchains. They can process more transactions than a single blockchain because the transactions are spread across multiple computers, kind of like parallel processing. A key player behind the network's development is Parity Technologies, which is a for-profit European headquartered firm which builds tools for the open source Polkadot platform. They also build tools for other platforms as well. But Parity is also the company behind Substrate, which is a set of tools developers can use to create blockchain applications with Polkadot or, you know, just like daps. Now, they still consider themselves Ethereum supporters. It's kind of weird how they do that. Basically, don't put all your eggs in one basket. The idea is simply that it can compete and establish a share of the market. They see the Polkadot approach as being a kind of natural progression in the whole ecosystem. And the ability for Polkadot to spin up new blockchains through this Parachain and Moonbeam technology is pretty enticing from an investment perspective. It's pretty easy to start something up. So instead of building from scratch, you can just build it on top of Polkadot. Done. Cool. We did it. Now let's start offering, incentives and programs to our users. Bam. Bottlenecks and throughput have been a pretty big issue for Ethereum, and Polkadot has kind of been able to sidestep it with this parachain technology a little bit. And Ethereum's governance seems to be kind of centralized around Vitalik Buterin. He is definitely the figurehead. I highly doubt he has just as much clout as we all think. But if he were to step away from Ethereum, it would definitely tank the price immensely because he appears to. And that's all the screaming masses care about, appearances. But yeah, this is a bit of a long, well, it's not too long of an article, but definitely check it out. CoinDesk did a pretty good job reporting on this. But yeah, people are looking at alternative coins to Ethereum, like Polkadot, calling it the next Ethereum. They want it because, well, Ethereum is only 18% ready for Ethereum 2.0, and they really only have 1 week to go. So, yeah. So the team of developers that are behind the next iteration of Ethereum are still pretty optimistic that Ethereum 2.0 could still hit on December 1st, but it's getting less and less realistic as the days drag on. According to Dune Analysis, only about 95,648 Ethereum has been committed to this deposit contract, about 18% of what they need. What's more, in order to launch on December the 1st as planned, all that Ethereum must be deposited to the contract 7 days prior. So yeah, at this point, they really only have about a week, and you've got over 80% to go and only 7 days to do it in. I mean, it's possible, but it's getting less and less and less likely. On top of that, most of the investments so far have come in pretty large chunks. Vitalik himself committed about 3,200 Ethereum. And then there was another address that committed 17,088 Ethereum. So according to a blog post from Danny Ryan, the project's genesis will only occur if the necessary amount of Ethereum is in the contract 7 days ahead of the launch. If not, he wrote, Genesis will be triggered 7 days after the threshold has been met, whenever that may be, which could drag on and on and on. Or, depending on the length of time it takes, deposit contract might void itself after a decent enough period, so users might be able to get their funds back if this doesn't happen. And I awfully, awfully unhappy that we are talking about the fact that this might not happen. Another complication is that the December 1st launch, should it happen, will only mark the beginning of the first phase of the Ethereum 2.0 upgrade, which won't actually switch everything over to a proof-of-stake model, but lay the groundwork and provide incentives to users. However, locking it up means you might not be able to get back that Ethereum for almost 2 years. And I do think that is where most of the resistance is coming from. Now, if you check out this other video I did, places you can go to stake less than 32 Ethereum, hopefully there's that little eye icon you can click on, check it out. There are places you can go. There are places that are up and running or will be up and running, but the fact that you could potentially not have access to that for months, years, is too much for a lot of people, and that's probably why the delay has been going on. If it was, hey, you can submit to this deposit contract, you do all this, and your funds are locked for, 3 months, 6 months, maybe even a year, people would be more willing to, but 2 years is a very long time, especially in the cryptocurrency space, when a bulk of users are probably going to be thinking about cashing out at least some of their Ethereum stash in the next year or two, because they're banking on it hitting 1, 2, 3, 5, 10K. So yeah, Ethereum's got a ways to go, and it's looking less and less likely, and that bothers me because I love Ethereum, and I think it does have what it takes, especially with first mover advantage, but they gotta get more people into this contract, and maybe 2 years wasn't the way to go. So yeah, let's touch on a hack or exploit, as I had a lovely conversation with someone about that those are different words. But the project Origin Dollar was just exploited for $7 million. It's a yield generating stablecoin. It was launched by the Origin project in late September. $7 million, womp womp. Origin protocol founder Matthew Liu announced the stablecoin had been hacked, is the term he used, noting that 1 million of the 7 million in lost funds, which included DAI and Ethereum, had been deposited by Origin's founders, employees, and the company itself. The team currently does not know the exact nature of how the exploit was carried out. However, they noted a flash loan transaction that appears to be the root of the attack, which cost half an Ethereum to complete. So for $200 investment, they got 7 million. I mean, not too bad. You know, the team is all hands on deck trying to figure out what vulnerability was exploited and how the hacker or exploitative user was able to access users' deposits. And you can expect an updated post. They then later stated that please do not buy OUSD on Uniswap or SushiSwap as the current prices do not reflect OUSD's underlying assets. This is a quickly moving process, and our entire team has been mobilized to tackle the crisis, which OUSD is currently trading for less than 10 cents on Uniswap. But Liu did say the team has no intention of going away and emphasized that the events do not compromise a rug pull or an internal scam. I mean, you can pick up a dollar of OUSD for less than 10 cents right now, so that's a pretty steep discount, though they did advise not to buy any. Just saying, that's what they advised, so I wouldn't do it. But yeah, I mean, Origin's breach is the fifth major flash loan attack to hit DeFi in the past 3 weeks. We talked about Acropolis a few days ago. There's also Harvest, Value, and Cheese Bank. I mean, Jesus, DeFi. But yeah, keep a very close eye on these DeFi projects. There's a reason why crypto is high risk, and this is it. All right, but let's hop on over the man of the hour, Bitcoin itself. I picked this article specifically because there's a picture of a surprised lemur with grass hanging out of his mouth as the title image. I absolutely love it. Props to Tony Spilrotoro. Spilroto? I don't know. However he pronounces his last name, that was a good picture if he was the one who was doing it. So for those of you tonight, Bitcoin just hit $17,000 as part of its continuing 7-week consecutive rally. The crypto finally reached what could be the final resistance level before a retest of its all-time high. With the former peak within striking distance, will bulls seize the opportunity and set a flame to the cryptocurrency market interest once again? I actually really like this dude's writing style. A lot of flavor text popping off. Pretty good. It's hard not to be bullish on the leading cryptocurrency by market cap. Scarce supply alone is a pretty good reason to pay attention. You combine that with a decentralized network that focuses on secure store of value and secure settlement processes. Also on the fact that big institutions like Grayscale are buying up more of it than what is being mined. And that's just one firm that's doing that. Bitcoin has yet to recapture the public eye and mainstream media the same way it did during the 2017 rally. I would argue that things are definitely different this time around. A lot of people did not know about Bitcoin. I find that pre-COVID, when I was still interacting with people, a lot of people knew that I was investing in cryptocurrencies and things like that. There's a group of us at work. They called the Bitcoin Boys because they have no imagination. Because the three of us had all kind of met up and were talking about it and cryptos we liked and things like that. Everyone at work knew what Bitcoin was. It's just they probably thought we were idiots for investing in it because it had shrank back so much since hitting $20,000, not realizing that we are all playing the long game here. Instead, it has been sought after by smart money institutions like Grayscale, Circle, Square, right? Yeah, I don't know. PayPal. They are loading up on the rare asset. Google search queries reflect that interest is nowhere near the 2017 levels. That's perfectly fine. And that might not start showing up until Bitcoin is back above its previous high of 20,000 and people realize that they might be missing out on the train once again. Choo-choo! For now, the image above is a nice little technical chart. Woo! Just showing the fact that for the past week, Bitcoin is nothing but, or the past like 2 months now, Bitcoin has been nothing but in the green. But that stretches back all the way to the previous all-time high of 20,000, which it only hit for a small amount of time. This rally is very different to me because we're not getting wild price swings. Huge jumps up and huge jumps down, huger jumps up and a smaller jump down, a huge jump and then a smashing crash. We seem to be just slowly raising, like the pressure level is increasing in a pressure cooker, approaching the point where it will explode. That's kind of how I picture this rally. We're just going to slowly rise, slowly rise, slowly rise, slowly rise, and then something is going to happen, and we are just going to go insane. The recent rally has left bears shocked and even bulls, like myself, in disbelief that the bull run has picked up in strength so quickly. At this pace, the stock-to-flow model projections become a lot more logical and realistic, not just steeped in false hopes left over from the previous crypto bubble. Yeah, a lot of people are talking about, you know, a 50K, 100K. There are a couple people and a couple institutions talking about a $250,000 to $300,000 Bitcoin within the next year. And this is starting to make things look a bit more like it. Honestly, I personally feel that Bitcoin has been vastly, vastly suppressed in price for a long period. There is no reason why this asset back in June, when we were talking about it, was only $10,000, $9,000, $12,000. It made absolutely no sense to me when we were talking about news about Grayscale, who's been buying up more Bitcoin than the Bitcoin that is currently being mined and added to the network for months. Things like that don't make me too concerned about potentially the, you know, the Mt. Gox Bitcoin being released back to its users who may then dump it on the market, or that Chainalysis is potentially going to be working with governments to help them get seized Bitcoin back onto the open market. I mean, all these types of things, you dump 100,000 Bitcoin from all these government seizures, you dump the maybe $500,000 Bitcoin from the Mt. Gox hack, yeah, price might drop for a second, but these companies are just going to buy it up instantly on its sale and on a discount. Like, I don't think we are going to see a $10,000 Bitcoin ever again. I don't. I think this price is going to skyrocket to at least $100,000 within the next 6 months to a year. And at the end of it, when there is that market crash and there is that depression, Bitcoin will drop by half to 75%. But the damage will be done. For all of those of you who are like me and bought up $100 of Bitcoin at a time and maybe don't even have a full Bitcoin yet, it's okay. Because even if you have a quarter, a half, a third, within the next 5 to 10 years, you'll be okay. Just hold on. That's all I can tell you. Just hold on. We've definitely rounded that bend where it's looking more and more realistic that for those of us who have a quarter to a full Bitcoin, we'll eventually be able to buy a house in Bitcoin or in Ethereum with little issue. So yeah, so that will do it for the trending articles in the crypto news space, as well as some of my rants. Let's take a look at things. Currently, Bitcoin, number one by market cap, is at $17,308.37. Up almost 6% on the day and almost 14% on the week. It is doing fantastic. In fact, everything in the top 10 is currently green on the day. Even if Chainlink is up 0%, it is still technically up. It's pretty flat on the day and on the week, so Chainlink is pretty balanced right now. But everything in the top 10, minus the stablecoin, which we don't give a crap about, is in the green. Polkadot, it's up 7%, not too bad. It looks like, yeah, Polkadot's got the highest rise of today out of the top 10. They're also up 10% on the week, not too bad. XRP looks like it's going to be testing 30 cents again here soon. Ethereum's sitting at about $471. I do worry that the news about the Phase Zero deposit contract being delayed could hinder the price in the short term, but I don't expect a problem in the long term. Ooh, it looks like Cardano's testing 11 cents again. Hopefully now that Bitcoin is on its upward trajectory, we see an altcoin rally. We are definitely overdue for one. Swissborg is the biggest earner on the day, up 13.5%. Synthetics, not too far behind at 9.75%. Not too bad. Biggest loser, Blockstack, down 8.24%. Let's take a look. I'm curious where Uniswap falls in this market. And they're down 5.46% on the day, though they seem to be stabling off, and they're still up 26% of the week. So, yeah, it's not had the crazy drop that I thought it was going to, but the day is still young. So, that will do it for everything. My name is John with Crypto Top 10. If you are here at the end and you haven't subscribed, hit that gall darn button, because you know you liked what you heard, and you're going to be listening to me from now on. I hope, please, pretty please. So like, subscribe, all that fun stuff, and make sure you do check out the links down in the description, so that way you can start doing research for yourself. I think that is a very, very, very important thing for everyone to do. It just is. So, without further ado, peace out, home slices.